Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
What up, Nashville? Welcome into the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. It is good to be back in the saddle. Chase McCabe here, Big Joe Dubin. Parts unknown. I don't know where he is, actually. We'll have to find that out. Nick Frazier, Dr. Crane, behind the glass on the ones and twos. JoJo, what's up?
Chaser, how are you, brother? I miss you, man. I haven't seen your face in almost a week.
I know. I miss you, too. Where are you?
You're on assignment. I'm on assignment. And so and because we have Jimmy Hart on today, you were from parts unknown. I went to parts unknown. So that's where we are.
Okay. So we're going to stick with parts unknown. I like that. Very, very good.
As Junie said yesterday, I'm down visiting my aunt, Peter Parker's aunt, down here in the Sunshine State.
Oh, very nice. The Sunshine State, indeed. Well, it's good to be back. Yeah. I have returned from Vegas, and everybody's asking, you know, the first question when you go to Vegas is, well, did you win? Well, nobody wins. Nobody wins in Vegas. I think everybody knows that. And so my response is, they're hanging on to my money for me, and I'm going to go back and get it.
We had a bet in the studio that you and Ricky got married. So I guess we did not.
We did not. To each other or to someone else?
To each other, and Larry.
Yeah, no, that did not happen.
Needed the insurance.
That did not happen.
All right, good.
And you know what's funny is I love this. Dustin in Hopkinsville that listens every day, you know, that is basically trying to Wally Pitt me now saying, like, y'all need to fit Junie into the show. Junie will be around. Junie does a great job.
I'm proud you know who Wally Pipp is. I'm proud of you.
Of course
for that.
I do. Yeah. I mean, that. I feel like that's kind of a known phrase nowadays. Like, if you leave, you know, you're going to get Wally Pipped.
Is that what's going to happen? Well, you know what? That's not a Tannehill thing, is it?
It could be. That's a good transit. Did Wally Pipp ever play again? I know he never played for the Yankees again, but did he play for anybody again?
I'm sure he did at some point. I have to look that up, but another one comes to mind is Pete Best. You ever heard of him?
Yeah, he was the original drummer of the Beatles.
Imagine your life after they hit it, and then the rest of your life is like you. I mean, you're not in the Beatles anymore. It's mind blowing that you're part of that, and you're gone. There's also a funny thing too, like the group Poison. Yeah, you know, they went to L.A. for years, and like I think the story is like 2 months before they broke it big. The guitar player said, I've had enough. I moved back to Pittsburgh or Buffalo, and now your band hits it. I mean, I just couldn't imagine the emotions that a Wally Pipp, a Pete Best, and this guitar player for Poison goes through when your band and who you've been with hits it huge.
So is that before CC DeVille?
Yes. Yes.
Wow. Yeah, you'd hate to be that guy.
Right?
Yesterday, so obviously I have a lot to react to because I missed quite a bit while I was gone. You know, I'm thinking, oh, it's the bye week. There won't be much to talk about when it comes to the Titans. And then what do? They trade Kevin Byard Monday afternoon. And so that news breaks and, you know, we're kind of talking about it. And I'm like, well, that'll be fun to come back to because he goes back home to Philadelphia. You know, we call him the mayor of Murfreesboro because he went to MTSU, but he's from Philadelphia. So he gets dealt there. And then yesterday, you know, or really the last couple days, I feel like Mike Vrabel's kind of been pissy Vrabel, you know, on the pissy scale, he's been way up there. You know, he's given it to Stillman on Tuesday, whenever it was. And then yesterday he's yelling at Rex Road for his hands. And I got to tell you, when I hear stuff like that, that does not give me the warm and fuzzy feeling that things are all great on Great Circle Road. Because it does not feel that way.
He went off on Rex Road?
Do what?
He went off on Rex Road?
Oh, yeah. You didn't hear this?
Oh, busy down here.
This was yesterday at the press conference.
On the both quarterbacks playing thing.
I'm going to focus on the Falcons.
Like we're good.
For this game.
And we're gonna talk about the Falcons. So put why are you holding your hands like that?
I'm trying to get a question in here.
Well then ask the question. Don't No, I'm just saying, like, you look ridiculous. Just ask the question, Joe.
Okay, let me ask you a question. On the two quarterback thing, would that be
against a really good defense? We have to run the football, whoever plays quarterback.
Okay.
Whether
that
that's right.
Series, or that'd be like one guy's the starter, one guy's
We'll figure out the game plan as we work through the week. You know, we may run the plays in with them. It could be by series, could be every, you know, two series. It could have certain things that we like. You know, we'll see where, you know, one, where Ryan is, and, you know, but again, I'm excited if Ryan can't play that both, you know, we'll get a look at both of those quarterbacks, and, you know, we'll need both of them to help us win. And you know, Falcons are doing some, you know, really good things.
You don't buy the adage that if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have a quarterback?
No, I don't, you know, don't buy that adage. We got three on the roster, and we'll see where Ryan is with his ankle and go from there.
That was Mike Vrabel yesterday. So that little exchange with Rex Rhodes.
All right, he crossed the line. I'm sorry, crossed the line. Your hands look stupid.
Yep.
You crossed the line. I'm sorry, you crossed. Now I want to go to press conference and say that because I Joe's a great guy, nice guy, probably avoids confrontation in every way possible. I don't. When I'm called out, I'd stand up and say something to him. That's unacceptable.
Well, let me put it to you like this. When I initially heard this yesterday, had I been on the air, I might have like had to, you know, take myself into the office and give myself a talking to. Because I'm going to just be honest with you. I was pissed. When I heard that, I was pissed. Because, you know, that's somebody that is a part of our team.
Yep.
And does a tremendous job covering that football team. And is trying to ask a legitimate question, and clearly the head coach doesn't want to answer the question. I get that. That's what he does. He interrupts when he doesn't want to answer a question, and he doesn't want to talk about something. But you know what? That's a part of it. That's a part of the game that you have to play. And this is what I've been kind of bringing up for a minute now, that the whole a-hole card, it works when you're winning. You can get away with it. You can get up there and act like you're smarter than everybody, and in some ways he is. And be a jerk and what have you. And everybody laughs and like, oh, it's Vrabes being Vrabes. And, you know, it's fine. When you're not, and it's clear that things are not going well because you just traded one of the faces of your franchise. And it's also kind of coming across that maybe this whole collaboration thing isn't going the way that everybody hoped it would. Then you just want to be a jerk and an a-hole. And you can't even let a guy finish a sentence and ask a question. And especially somebody that asks you tough questions, but does it in a professional way. Like, come on, Mike. You're better than that. And, you know, I heard he apologized. That's great. But now it's on tape. And this is something that people are talking about. Like you made yourself look bad.
Right.
And I'm trying to do this in a way where I don't cuss, but it's just like, this is the kind of crap that I get sick of. And, you know, there are people that, you know, and I have been one that I like Mike Vrabel as a coach. I think he's a good coach. You know, I don't know if I'm anointing him like some people would, but I do agree that if he were to get fired or if he were to leave, he'd have a job in 5 minutes. Like I that's how the league works, that you get a second chance. Like, you do well enough, you get a second chance pretty quick. Like, you agree with that? That's how this league works.
It's like baseball managers. What Dusty Baker had, what, nine manager jobs? I mean, you just keep going on. So that's the first time I've heard that. And I was going through my mind with, you know, I covered the team since 97. Fisher never did that. I mean, he got upset at a few things. Munchak certainly never did that. Wisenhunt got mad at me one time in a press, but not – he didn't call out my character or my hands. Mularkey, fantastic. But Vrabel, I mean, he's a meathead. And to call out – then he says, well, why don't you ask your question? And I'm like, well, Joe's trying to ask his question. Let him ask the question. And you just contradicted yourself. I mean, that's an a-hole move right there. I'm sorry. That's just – and I'm glad that's the first time I heard that, because I can have that reaction on the air.
I am too. I didn't know you hadn't heard it. Like, I am too.
No, not at all. Now I want to go over there and just ask him the most mundane, idiotic question so he could call me out so I can stand up and say something to him. I'm too old, man, to do this, and I will not – I like to avoid confrontation for the most part, but when you call out something physical on me and you're not joking, you mean it in a way. And I sent Nick a note because I'd like to hear it again in the next segment, just the part where he goes off on Joe, not the question afterwards. Yeah. Because I don't – you know, I love Mike Ditka, right? And I've sent you guys clips of Mike Ditka going off of reporters and, you know, but – it was never a character hit. It was never like, well, you know what? You got a big nose, or, you know, how much weight do you gain? You know, it was never physical, never sure. Like that. This crosses a massive line. And I know people will defend it, and I get all that and report it. But just, you know,
not too many people are defending it.
Good, good. That's fantastic. Joe's asking a legitimate question. He's not, he's never gone over there with malice. It's just going out after a question. I'm 100% on Joe's side on this. This is just ridiculous of Mike Vrabel.
Yeah. Mitchell on our text line is the one that said, he said, you look ridiculous, not stupid. It's not that bad. Now, I disagree. Like, you called somebody out for holding their hands up because you were the one that kept interrupting him and wouldn't let him ask the question. So that's the problem. That's the problem I have. Like, shut up for 5 seconds and let him ask the question.
Yeah,
and he does it way too many times.
Yeah, and all he's got to say is, hey, we'll see on Sunday what happens and pay attention. And it's like, what do you do with your hands? It looks ridiculous. And yeah. I'm trying to figure out, what was Joe? Was he like in a boxing move, or was he just
no,
he
held it like
midair?
You know how, like, if you get cut off on the road, like, you hold your hands up like, hey, what are you doing? It was like that.
Like this?
Yeah.
I don't know if you can see me or not.
I can't see
like
you,
this?
But yeah.
Yes, Joe.
My
like
hands
that.
Up in there, like I'm praising the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Lenny says, from a fan standpoint, that was total intimidation. Yeah. I mean, he's trying to be the tough guy. He's trying. That's what he's trying to be. I'm smarter than you. I want to talk about the Falcons. Well, guess what, Mike? You're 2-4. How about you talk about your football team in general and the dumb decisions that you guys have made? Let's talk about that. So yeah, we're fired up. A lot of people want to weigh in on this. 615-737-1025. We got a lot to get into today. We'll talk to Greg Wyshynski at the bottom of the hour, talk a little hockey with him. We'll continue the Titans discussion. Plus, the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart, legendary wrestling manager, going to join us at 10 o'clock for an event going on in our city. We'll do that. It's Chase and Big Joe here on a Thursday, 1025-1063 the game.
Why are you holding your hands like that?
I'm trying to get a question in here.
Well, then ask the question. Don't. No, I'm just saying, like, you look ridiculous. Just ask the question, Joe.
Okay.
Mike Vrabel, yesterday, Joe was trying to ask a question. You wouldn't let him. You wouldn't shut your mouth for 5 seconds. Chasing Big Joe, 1025, 1063, the game. I'm glad when I read this text line and people pretty much agree with us.
Oh, man, that's so – you know what's funny about that? You just say it's like you wouldn't shut your mouth. It's just so simple that it's exactly what – he just wouldn't shut his mouth.
Yeah. And, look, I'm going to say – go ahead before I go
say,
on
for
my
example,
tangent.
One time I cut a lady off in traffic one time. I didn't mean to. And older lady, and I was going to apologize. She was, like, riding my tail and pulled up next to me. And I was expecting her to flip me off or scream at me, and she gave me the thumbs down, right? you have no comeback when somebody gives you the thumbs down. You could try, and you could do whatever you want, but when an elderly lady gives you the thumbs down, you just take that loss and move on.
Well, that's what we're giving Mike Vrabel this morning. 615-737-1025. Chris says, throw Vrabel a flag for taunting. That's pretty good. I like that. Bradford says he's going to bed because he worked 3 days straight, but he loves the show. So, Bradford, thank you for listening. But he also said he's in a bad mood because bleep is hitting the fan. No wonder he's losing the respect of the locker room. If he talked to me like a child, he'd lose my respect too. Do you think that he is losing the respect of the locker room?
I really think the Byard pay cut thing in March did more damage than they ever thought about.
Yep.
Because here's a guy that was a leader, did nothing wrong, played at a high level, and hey, do you mind taking a pay cut? And I think that really, because those, we've talked to guys in the locker room, they talk, they keep talking, they know what's going on. And for them to say, you know, if Byard's getting asked to do that, am I next? Are you next?
Right.
So I think once that happened, and I could be completely wrong, I just think that really drove a big hammer and a nail through that locker room, and we're seeing it now.
Well, and here's where I think they, and when I say they, I mean the Titans, and really I'm talking about Amy Adams Strunk, because this was ultimately her decision. This is where they botched this, because they came out with this whole, you know, Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel, it's going to be a collaboration. And, okay, who gets the final say? Well, Amy gets the final say. Okay, yeah, but who gets the final say between the head coach and the GM? Well, it's a collaboration. Okay, great. But somebody's got to have, like, there's got to be somebody that has a little bit more than the other. Well, it's a collaboration. They're going to work together. Okay, so to your point, they ask Kevin Byard to take a pay cut. Well, who asked him to take the pay cut? Was it Vrabel? Was it Carthon? Was it them together? When we don't know the answer to those things, and there are some people that are going to be like, well, you don't need to know the answers. That's between them. Okay, fine. But when we are doing our jobs and we're talking about the team, and clearly you see that something's going wrong, okay, well, is Byard pissed at Vrabel, or is he pissed at Carthon, or is he pissed at both? Who asked him to take the pay cut? Well, then it comes out, you know, Rand Carthon basically says it, I asked him to take the pay cut. Okay, right. Well, was Vrabel cool with that? What did you guys collaborate on that, or did you go and do that? And I'm starting to see things that kind of make me think that maybe this whole collaboration thing isn't going the way that everybody thought it would. That, you know, Carthon's like, I'm the GM, so I'm going to do the GM stuff. You do the coach stuff. Yet Vrabel wants to use the old Bill Parcells, like, I want to buy the groceries because you want me to make the dinner, so I need to go get the groceries. Like,
right.
I don't think that whole thing's working. Like, I'm just going to say it. This is strictly my opinion. I don't think they're on the same page.
Well, also, you know, sitting there at 2-4, it's not just 2-4, it's just how bad they've played at 2-4. And, you know, I did agree the other day. I think Kuharski asked a great question, said, if you guys were 4-2 or 5-1, would you make this Byard trade? And the coach's fallback is always, well, the hypothetical. That's a hypothetical. And I think if they had been 4-2, 5-1, maybe so. Maybe you wouldn't have made it. But fact is, you're 2-4. You traded one of your most beloved players in franchise history. And now you got to go forward. Now you're trying to spin it some other way. And that's what I told you the other day, Che, or Junie the other day. If you're Rand Carthon, this is a big moment in Titans history trading. Why not go out and say, hey, and meet the media and establish yourself as a GM? Silence. We talked to John McClain about this day. He says it's okay that Rand didn't come out because he felt like GMs are in control during the draft, during the season, let the coaches talk. But I think this is a little bit different and all that.
I agree. No, and that's a great point that you know, we haven't brought up yet. Why wasn't Carthon a part of that press conference? You make a big trade like that to somebody that has meant so much to the organization. Like, to me, that's kind of an all hands on deck kind of press conference.
Yeah.
You know, like, maybe not Amy. I mean, she doesn't really do press conferences anyway. But,
right.
But, like, that to me that should be the GM, especially if you guys are going to die on the vine that there is a collaboration going on and they're lockstep and barrel and they're making decisions together. That should be Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel making that press conference. So, I, in all the respect in the world for John, but I disagree. Like, if the way that it has been laid out that they have this collaboration going on, that should have been a joint press conference with Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel.
I agree. By the way, I just sent John McClain a text about you disagreeing with him. He says, and I quote, "I'll see you in the parking lot soon."
I don't know what that means. I don't want to mess with John. I don't want to mess with John, but I respectfully disagree. Raymond and Franklin with a very, very good text.
And oh gosh, he hates you. What's
I know.
He gonna say?
I know. Vrabel was and is always a big Richard. People just ignored it because he was winning. Now that he's losing, his full Richardism is on display. I think that's a great point. Now, I didn't necessarily ignore it. I know there were others that didn't. You know, I know that I have said, I can only speak for myself, that you can get away with that stuff when you're winning. You can be a jerk to everybody. You can be you can have the I'm smarter than you mentality when you're winning. But when you've lost 11 of 13, as a lot of you have pointed out on the text line, when you've lost 11 of your last 13, that crap gets old real fast. And you're not going to have a lot of people supporting you. You're going to have a lot of people that do what we do that are going on the radio and be like, hey, you know, the act's getting old. You know, cut the out. Like, it's getting old. And I think the fan base is starting to feel that way too. You know, for a long time, it's like, oh, Vrabes. He's a good coach. But clearly, this is not – things are not going well. And then you want to start this whole crap of – that, oh, yeah, we're going to play both quarterbacks. You don't do that in the NFL. No. You don't rotate series or whatever. And I know he hasn't said that's what they're going to do. He won't answer a question on it. He keeps cutting Rex Road off. He won't give us the game plan. But, like, if you're going to play both, like, that's – you don't have one. Like, pick one and go with it. Stop this, you know, just walking around it and decide and get up there and go – yeah, we're going to go with Will Levis, the guy that we traded up in the second round to get. Or, no, we're going to stick with Malik Willis, even though we've seen a lot out of Malik Willis, and it doesn't look very good. Just stick with it. But
You know
he's going to say, we're going to play both.
Right, yeah. Well, you know, what I like about this is that Tuesday we had on Hal Gill about getting traded. I know it's hockey and football, and just what happens you get traded with Tyson Berry on yesterday about getting traded and everything. So now our next guest that's coming up, Greg Wyshynski, we can ask him about confrontations with coaches. Cause Chase, I'm really searching my Google search and everything going in my notes. I'm really trying to find a time when a coach, and I know it might be over the top, but just attacking air quotes, somebody, a coach saying that.
I'm it's really happened.
But I'm trying to figure out when it, you know, when it physically happened.
Yeah, well,
I mean, hands up looks ridiculous. I don't know. I know he didn't go after him physically, but that I don't know, man.
No, I agree. And it wasn't. Look, it was unprofessional. It was. It was a bad. And it was a bad look. It was a very bad look for Vrabel. Tyron wants to comment on this real quick. Tyron, what's up?
Hey guys, yeah, and I kind of agree with what you're saying. I never really bought the collaboration. I mean, unless you're an all-time great coach, most of the time. And you've won a bunch of Super Bowls. The GMs, you work for the GM, not the GM work for the coach. And I don't believe Carthenon ever would have left the 49er operations and said at some point Amy Adams Shrunk hadn't said you can bring in your own coach. Sometimes you have to inherit a coach for a year, maybe your guy isn't ready that you want. But I believe Carthenon's in charge. I believe this is a full set rebuild too. And I they already trade Byard. And I think Vrabel see the walls closing in. I believe unless there's a phenomenal turnaround, which I don't see happening, I think he's gone at the end of the year. And Carthenon's going to bring in his own coach. And I've often and Titans, let's be honest, they need to get rid of this New England regime anyway. I've often said the Patriot way only works one way. If you got Tom Brady as your quarterback,
Other than that, get
that nonsense out of here. Get it out. So I think he needs to be gone, and I believe this is a full set rebuild. And I think Vrabel knows that, and he probably got a little bad news because over the weekend he was at one Patriot place playing a game of grab. You know what? And ironically, Sunday the news broke: Belichick got an extension. So that job may not be up for you either, buddy. So go back to get ready for Ohio State if they lose to Michigan, my friend. But he needs to go.
Thanks. Appreciate it, Tyron. Look, go ahead. Well, I was just going to say.
I'm going to say Rand Carthenon's going to come down and say, Mike, hit the road, buddy.
I agree.
New sheriff in town, Rand Carthenon.
I like that. That was good. Here's what I'm going to say. Don't read anything into the Belichick extension because remember, he has two jobs. This whole this whole thing of Belichick's on the hot seat, Belichick's going to be gone, it's still going to be on Bill's terms. And
right.
Kraft may go to him and go, hey, I think let's bring in a new coach, whether it's Jerod Mayo, who's on the staff now, or Vrabel, or somebody that Bill knows and Bill trusts, and you be the GM. That's what's going to happen.
Right. Well, you know, they said every GM in his back pocket's got a list of 5 head coaches. I want to know who's in Rand Carthenon's back pocket. Maybe that's a topic for another show.
Somebody off the 49ers staff, I would assume. I mean, that's where they're all coming from right now. So that's probably
right,
where
it should
be.
What's up next, Chase?
We will continue this later on, but we'll get to Greg Wyshynski next, get his thoughts on the Preds and the NHL, things going on with that. Coming up next, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, presented by Regal Realty Group, here on a Thursday, and every Thursday at 9:30, you hear the music. We talked to Greg Wyshynski from ESPN. We'll get him in just a second. He was there, and he dropped off, but we will call him in just a second and get him back on. But because I want to ask him about the frozen frenzy that we had the other night. It was really cool to sit and watch in the sports book in Vegas at the Superbook, had a lot of fun at the Superbook there at the Westgate. So appreciate them because they always do a great job there. But was watching all the games. They had it on the big screen, and I thought that was really cool to see. And then I ended up going to the Vegas Golden Knights game later that night because it was the last game of the evening. Now we say hello to Greg Wyshynski, who is on with us now. And Greg, I was just talking about my experience with the frozen frenzy the other night. I was in Vegas at the Superbook, so I got to watch all the games on the giant screen. And then at the very last minute, I was like, you know what? I'm going to go see the Golden Knights. And so I went to the Golden Knights game and saw them come back from being down 2-1 to remain undefeated and beat the Flyers. But the frenzy was awesome.
Yeah, dude, it worked out better than we could have hoped insofar as not only the execution of it, because, you know, it's the first time anyone's really attempted to do this any NFL red zone type thing for hockey, and being able to have access to show overtimes and things like that was really cool. And, you know, but also I think the thing that really blew us away was the reaction to it. I mean, listen, hockey fans are inherently cynical. We don't always love new things and experimental stuff. And to see the reaction to the frenzy being as universally positive as it was, I think is really one of the more inspiring things about it. And you know, the numbers were good. The thing worked out. And I would be surprised if we don't do it again.
So I mentioned that I went and saw VGK live and in person. And one, if you've never been, and I know you probably have, but if people out there have never been to a Golden Knights game in Vegas, it's pretty cool. It's a cool atmosphere. I've noticed where they may have gotten a few ideas from, but that's a good hockey team. And I watched them like get shots on net, and they weren't going in, but they kept after it. They moved the puck fast. I mean, they were a really fast team. And you have a piece up right now, ironically, about the Flyers and, you know, their rebuild. The Flyers, I thought, played a good game. They played a game good enough to win. But Vegas just shows you that you got to play a full 60 against them. They tie it up in the third and then win it with 30 seconds left. There's a reason they're undefeated in the defending Stanley Cup champs.
There is. And before I get to them, the Flyers piece is an interesting one. It's a kind of about how a team that has constantly tried to sell their fans on the idea that they're going to win the Cup now has to try to sell a rebuild. And it's kind of an interesting look inside the team on their messaging and kind of like understanding the mistakes of the past as they try to like get fans excited about this version of the team. It's kind of a cool story. The Knights are scary because it looks like they figured out something about themselves defensively last season that they've really carried over into this season. I mean, obviously they played well enough defensively to win a Stanley Cup in front of Aiden Hill, which is quite an accomplishment. Yeah. But they've carried it over to this season. And you know, for a team that notoriously had a lot of dramatic turnover year over year because of the salary cap. I mean, they lost Riley Smith to the Penguins, and he was an original Knight and an important player for them, but by no means an irreplaceable player. And they re-signed Barbashev, who they picked up at the trade deadline to kind of fill in his role in the lineup. And so there's an incredible consistency year over year from Vegas in that roster that we don't normally see from them. So they're scary. I've been saying since the beginning of the year, the dumbest thing we all did as fans and media is default setting to not believing a team can repeat as champion. Like, we've seen two teams do it. I don't know why we all thought Vegas would do it, but so far they look like they could win the cup again.
Talking to Greg Wyshynski from ESPN. So getting to the Predators, we saw two games where they outscored their opponents 9-2 with a 4-1 win over the Rangers, a 5-1 win over the Sharks. And then Tuesday night, they ran into Vancouver and can only put two goals up against them in the 3-2 loss. And, you know, I know they had a hard practice yesterday. Andrew Brunette is preaching consistency, and it doesn't seem like that it's there just yet. But what have you seen out of Nashville to this point?
Well, I caught them when they came to New York to play the Rangers. And, you know, we talked about the fact that Brunette had been with the Devils last year and you know, was an associate coach and really helped kind of shape their special teams, but also probably picked up a thing or two about the way that team plays. And the way they played against the Rangers was very reminiscent of the way the Devils played last year, like playing with speed, using all three zones, being responsible in your own defensive end while also trying to get up the ice as quickly as possible. It was very Devils of last season, and that's a team that, you know, won a playoff round and finished fifth in the NHL in offense. And I talked to Roman Josi about that after the game, and we talked about how, yeah, that, like, playing with pace and trying to win with speed while also sort of taking care of business with your own zone is the formula for this team. And when they execute it, they can beat anybody. They've got a lot of talent, and I think that Ranger game showed you exactly how effective it could be. But they're going to run up against teams like Vancouver that are playing pretty well and may be able to mitigate some of the things they're trying to do. But you know, the system that I've seen put in place and the execution of it so far gives me hope that they're going to be able to nail this thing and get on a roll at some point.
Talking hockey with Greg Wyshynski from ESPN.
Hey, Greg, you know, with Barry Trotz as general manager, Barry Trotz has told us over the years he loved going on the road because he could tell his team it's us against the world. After this game on Saturday, the Preds hit a 5-game West Coast road trip. I know Andrew Brunette probably thinks the same way Barry Trotz does. Is this good for this young hockey team to go out there early on in the season to kind of fight against the world instead of just like two games here, one game there, two games there, off and on? What does this mean? What can this do for the hockey team?
Well, it's good because it comes at a good time in the schedule. Like, this is where you want a road trip to fall. You look at a team like Calgary, they played like one game at home, then they immediately went on the road for 5 games. That's too early. Like, you're still getting to know each other. Like, you're still getting your feet under you. A long road trip, especially if you're not playing great hockey early in the season, can certainly spiral things. So, you know, the Preds have gotten a few games. They've got a couple home games. Like, they've gotten their feet under them a little bit with a new coach. So now to have a lengthy road trip where you might get some bonding time, I think it falls in a good place in the schedule for them.
You know, we've always talked to Predator hockey players when they take on Toronto, you know, now in the other conference, we face them once a year at home. And all the players like, you know what? Yeah, we know everybody back home is watching. Do you get that sentiment when you talk to hockey players that when Toronto comes to town, that the guys want to step it up just a little bit more because they know everybody's watching in Canada?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, no, that's always been the case. I mean, and also the Leafs are the Dallas Cowboys of the NHL in the sense that, like, they're the lightning rod, the team everybody cares about back home if you're Canadian. And to have a good game against Toronto is to know that, you know, people are going to pay attention to it. But also, if your team beats Toronto, you know it's going to make huge news back in Ontario. So that's always a game people have circled on the schedule, especially in the Western Conference when you only play them a couple times. It's mostly like for kids in Canada, it's playing Toronto and beating Toronto, and then it's playing in Montreal, because being in that city and playing in that arena at Bell Centre is still a very, very big deal to kids who grew up in Canada, because there is, although they've not been good for a while, like, there still is a huge mystique when it comes to Montreal and hockey.
I will tell you though, Greg, excuse me, it's weird seeing the Red Wings up at the top of the standings. When the Red Wings are good, is that great for hockey?
Yeah, you know, I sometimes hesitate to assign the it's good if team X is good for hockey. But at the same time, like, there's no question that when you see certain teams rise up the standings, it has an impact. I mean, when Boston got good after that 2005 lockout, it really helped the league. Same thing with Chicago. Same thing with Pittsburgh. You know, like, there are certain franchises that have massive fan bases where the better they are, the better it's going to be for the league. And Detroit certainly falls into that category. And like you said, they've been so irrelevant for, like, the last several seasons that it's hard to really remember a time when, you know, they were one of the preeminent franchises in hockey. What's changed since then, obviously, is the fact that they're no longer in the Western Conference. And I still lament that. Like, I always thought having the Red Wings in the West was great, not only for the rivalries with teams like Nashville and Chicago and St. Louis, but also just to have a original six prestige franchise that you can have against a McDavid or against some of those Western Canadian teams. So the fact that they're playing well, they're scoring a ton of goals, and they're playing exciting hockey. Yeah, it's good for the league because I think Detroit is a city that's an important franchise for, you know, the overall national success of the NHL.
He is Greg Wyshynski of ESPN, does a fantastic job. And yes, my friend, it was good in Vegas to be able to watch all the games and you know, live the life. And people keep asking me, did I win anything while I was there? And they're nice enough to hold on to my money for me for next time when I come back. So that's how it goes sometimes.
But you said it, though. Like, if you've got the ways and the means to go catch a game in Vegas, it really is an amazing experience. Not only, like, the way that they do their game ops and the environment and everything, but just, like, the simple fact that you walk out of the arena after the game and you're on the strip. I mean, like, it truly is. Like, if you got some boys and you're looking to burn through some money and go on a road trip and watch a hockey game in Vegas, you're going to do pretty well for yourself.
No doubt, for sure. Hey, appreciate it as always. We'll talk next week.
Anytime.
Thank you. Greg Wyshynski, ESPN, joins us every Thursday at 9:30. A lot of you still want to weigh in on Mike Vrabel and his pissiness from yesterday. We'll get back into that next. 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McKay, Big Joe Dubin. How do we think Mike Vrabel would ask if, you know, one of his players asked him that question? Probably, like, just knock their head off, right?
Hey, Mike, what are we doing here? Yeah. You do what you're told. I need to come up with a Vrabel impression. You know, it's that Northeast Ohio, Boston, I'm better than you kind of accent. You know, one of those. To do that. I don't know. I just, you know, we have great response from our listeners on the text line with our questions, but this hit a new level today, man. People are hot about it, you know, because you invest in this football team and now you got a coach who's just, you know, firing salvos left and right. It's odd. We're not Philadelphia. We're not New York City. We're not Boston. It's Nashville. You know, we're nice. Yeah. And now you're getting all this that's coming in, and the response, I mean, my text I'm getting for people who did not hear that yesterday, it's overwhelming, which is great for us in sports talk radio.
Yeah, no, it is. And like, I think the act is wearing out. And as a lot of you have pointed out on the text line, it, you know, you can get away with this stuff when you're winning. You know, if they had won 11 of their last 13, we're not having this conversation right now. It's completely different. You may not like it, but we're not having this conversation. But when you've lost 11 of your last 13, like the Titans have, then the act gets old. You got to change. And what's funny is I noticed throughout training camp, like, he tried. He tried. He was trying to be calmer. You know, he was trying to be not necessarily nice, but just not put it on as thick. And now I think he's just frustrated. And like, one texter asks, I guess it was who asked that? Here we go. Wes says Mike Vrabel is pissy because the Beyer trade was like the AJ trade. He probably thought it was a bad idea. Okay, well, I think you maybe, but if they're collaborating, shouldn't he have been in on it?
Yep.
I mean, I don't think it was just done without his consent. If they're truly collaborating and they're working together, meaning him and Rand Carthon.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, if that's the deal and you're the GM, I just, you know, give some clarity. I mean, you know, they don't owe us anything. I understand that. They don't owe us anything except, you know, to talk, to maybe answer our questions, try to, when Joe Rexer would ask a very simple question and Vrabel berates him. But, you know, maybe, you know, to kind of ease things. I mean, they got a $500 billion stadium going in. Let's do a little PR here and let's little, like, here's what we got going. Here's our plan. I don't know if they know. I mean, they haven't told us what a plan is. So who knows? So, Chase, can I do this real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. So I love, you know, I love Mike Ditka. He's just one of the best coaches ever. This is a clip where somebody called in to Mike Ditka's radio show, and he's not happy with Ditka. And here's what Mike had to say.
Why did it appear that Mike was holding back, trying not to cry like the baby that he is?
Well, Neil, I tell you what you are, I can't say on the air. But I tell you what, I'm 53 years old. And I my office is at 250 North Washington. Anytime you want to meet me there, you call me back on the air. You tell me what time and when, and I will whip your ass. You got that, big boy? It's easy to hide behind a microphone, son. Let's get your face out in public, and let's live where people have to see you every day, and we'll see who the gutless wonder is.
Wow. So that was on the coach's show?
Yeah, that's fantastic. Could you imagine today a coach doing that? Calling out, I'm going to whip your ass at the office?
Yeah.
It's the greatest thing ever.
But again, so that was with the Saints? Is that when he was with the Saints or the Bears?
No, I think of the Bears.
Oh, okay, so he's still with the Bears. All right, but what did he have at that point? They'd won.
He had cachet. Yeah.
He had cachet. And so that's the difference. Like, and I mean, if Vrabel did that now, like, I think if Vrabel ever did that, it wouldn't have been received the same way. Like, because Ditka was just – was on a different level. I mean, he was just of legend, you know, as a player and then a Super Bowl winning coach. So, I don't know. But also, that wasn't – you know, the guy kind of asked for it. Like, Rexro didn't ask for
sure.
it. Rexro was trying to ask a question.
Right. He was asking a question, but I don't know. Maybe I have more respect for Vrabel if he did that on the radio. Does he even do a radio show? I don't know. Who cares? If he
does that, a TV show, I think.
Yeah, which is love Mike Keith. So I don't know, man. I love that. And again, I'm trying to go back in the time with the Titans / Oilers. They moved here in 97 of the time when a coach really felt the pressure and the heat. And, you know, there's some hot moments. That went on, but nothing like that. I mean, they were just calling. You look ridiculous. I don't know. It makes me laugh. And that Ditka clip makes me laugh and all that stuff, man.
Dave says, bully Vrabel giving Joe a verbal wedgie is BS, winning or losing. I agree. I mean, I thought he was out of line.
Yeah, what is Belichick? I mean, Belichick was like a question. We've moved on. And we laugh about we've moved on. I don't think Bill has ever went after and, you know, a reporter like – I'm sure he might have, but not like, you look ridiculous. You know, we've heard like, that's a dumb question. You know, I'm not answering that. You know, the famous Jim Moore rant was about the playoffs. Remember? I mean, he's like, hey, where'd you think the playoff? Playoff? I mean, it was a dumb question. Yes, we all ask dumb questions, but – the response was just magnificent. So, I don't know. I'm still laughing over the Ditka thing because it's just – I turned 55 yesterday, and so Ditka was 53 doing that, which made me laugh even more to think that, you know, here's an old man that's going to just pull out the 55-gallon can of whip ass and take this guy down. It's just – it's the greatest, man.
So, Chris asked a good question. I wonder how Boston media is going to handle Vrabes when he replaces Belichick. He is just like Bill, but loud about it and actually speaks. I think, you know, I actually think he'll be fine in that because they'll spar back with him. I mean, I just think that's what he wants. He likes the sparring match. And so, but, you know, Boston media, New York media, Northeast media, they'll spar with him more than we do down here. I think he'd handle it fine. But again, no, even Belichick right now is – they're not winning. And so it's getting a little awkward for him. So you got
to
win.
And what did he say? I mean, he made a good point about when he got traded to the Chiefs, they went this is what he said in New England. You know, they went 6-10, and you know, it was just different because, you know, I don't think they were committed to winning like New England was. But you made a great point earlier, Chase. I mean, you talk about all that. You know, you look at Belichick's record right now without Tom Brady, he's an average cheating football coach, right? Yeah. With yeah. Tom Brady, he's an award-winning cheating football coach. So take it for where you want to go with it. But let's still, you know, Mr. Vrabel, let's still take the fact that you had the greatest quarterback ever on your football team for 8 years. Don't overlook that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Hey, there is a cool event coming to our fair city this weekend, and it's going to feature one of the legends of pro wrestling, the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. He's going to join us coming up next. We'll tell you more about that here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.